Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Alfred Adisk, and this is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. Today's program, of course, is Tuesday, 19th day of August, year of our Lord, 2014. My co-host today will be Frank Stephan. And we will get to Frank in just a moment. First, we'll do the market reports. Gold is down $1.60 to $1,296.60 per ounce. Silver's down 20 cents, 1948. Platinum is down $6 to $1,442. Palladium is off 11 to $884 per ounce. Crude oil is down $1.47. Whoa, below $95 a barrel. You know, this is a strange thing. Maybe we'll talk about this with Frank in a moment. But how do we explain that the price of crude oil is going down given all the other problems we have in the world right now? It's an interesting question. Dow Jones is up 80 points to 16,919. NASDAQ is up 18 points to 4,526. New York Stock Exchange is up 42 points to 10,929. And the U.S. dollar index is up 0.30 to 81.87. Hello, Frank. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
This is Frank Stephan, of course, and he hosts his own program,
The Frank Report.
I'm not sure. Do you hear anything right now?
Just you.
Why? One of these.
You've opened a page that has
some, I have opened a page that has some sound on it.
Don't you love that? It's even better when it's video and sound.
Yeah, that's really fun. Jesus, you know.
Yeah, I know.
These people drive you nuts. You can't just visit the website.
And the real,
you got to stay for all the videos and all the comments and everything else. And once you fall into it, it's like getting trapped in a black digital hole.
Yeah,
where everything is sucked in and no light gets out. You have to watch whatever they have.
The really good ones make it almost impossible to shut it off either.
Well, I got this one. I shut it off. But I've got, what have I got? I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 tabs open with subjects that we might get to today. And so when you got to sort through them, of course.
Figure out which one's the one making all the noise here.
Yeah. And, of course, it's not necessarily a video right at the top of the page.
No. That would be too easy.
They put them off. They hide them off on the side or down at the bottom. And you've got to fish through the whole thing in order to find. We suffer a lot. I don't think people understand it. I don't think they appreciate the kind of suffering that radio talk show hosts have to go through just to try to provide an intelligent explanation of the news.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure everyone's, crying, but
yeah, that's well, we'll get we'll
fix them up with some really good news here.
We started to talk a little bit about the London Silver Fix.
Mm.
All right, before we get the program started. And we're pointing out that the historic London Silver Fix had been in business for 117 years. But in the last 4 months or so, they announced, that's it, we're out of here, we quit. And it is almost certainly due to lawsuits that have been filed against the three major banks that were determining what the benchmark price of silver would be every day in London. Now, this gives you an enormous amount of, if I could set the price of silver every day, and I knew that you and I and third party, we could set the price of silver at noon tomorrow. And knowing that, how much money do you think we could make?
A lot every single day.
Absolutely.
Because every day I would know, I'm selling because tomorrow the price is going, down. And then, I'm buying because tomorrow it's going up. Because why? Because we say so.
Yep.
What a great job.
So why would you quit that job?
Well,
After 117 years, you
had mentioned this last week, and here's something from the Chicago Tribune, and this is a quote. Everybody these days is worried that if something isn't totally transparent, that there's going to be litigation at some stage if somebody's not happy with it. This is what Steve Garwood, a trader at Bard & Company, said, a precious metals dealer in London. I believe you mentioned something about liability.
Well, that's what this is all about. I mean, why would you give up a racket where you get to set the price of silver every day? You know what it's going to be before everybody else does. It's a sure formula for getting fabulously wealthy, and yet three major banks have said, that's it, we're out of here, we quit. Why? It has to be legal liability, certainly civil and perhaps even criminal. So they're out.
Yeah.
So now we've got a new one in here, a new and improved silver fix that took over noon on Friday, and the world has not yet fallen apart. So what's the prognosis for the new silver fix?
Oh, well, we know we can trust it because it's electronic.
That's an important point. This is allegedly a market, all right? this is a market, and they've got, and we don't even, as of Thursday of last week, the identity of the people who would be running the new silver fix was not yet publicly known. One day before they're supposed to take over, we don't even know who they are. The system is supposed to be run on the basis of some sort of a computer algorithm. And you inject a seed price every day that you get from other markets, which are probably controlled by these people, and you factor that in, you run that into the computer, and it spits out a number. And we all sit around like Greek savages waiting for an oracle to speak and tell us what the silver fix is going to be for the day. No one apparently has real direct control over what's happening in this alleged market. They said at one point that this determination is going to be done every 30 seconds. Right? Now, this is not an auction.
Can you say
you have an auction? Yeah, that's what we're talking about. I'm surprised they even gave it 30 seconds. That means the computer has 29.99999 seconds to rest between each calculation. All right? There are no people directly involved in this. Some kind of computer is setting up the numbers. Who's going to be held accountable for it? Who's going to be able to explain it? Who even knows for a fact what the algorithm is? Will the algorithm be made known to the people, or will it just be a mystery?
Well, I'm sure that's a trade secret, just like the election machines are. You know, you don't know that stuff. But the point is, who puts in the data? Who's in control of the input? Because computers are great, and computer models are great, and algorithms are fine, but it all depends on what you put in. And the old adage of crap in, crap out, you know, it applies.
Absolutely. And when you just have a computer algorithm, if they're calculating, this is supposedly an auction between who's going to buy and sell silver in large quantities. But if I'm conducting an auction and I say, I got 1950 an ounce for silver. Who'll give me 1960? Who'll give me 1960? Finally, we get somebody say, 1960, going once, going twice, sold for $19.60 per ounce. You can't do that in 30 seconds. All right? This is auction, does not involve living people in the direct sense of they are bidding and saying, I'll pay $19.50 for silver, and somebody else says, I got to have $19.60. There's not a human auction going on here. Where are we?
Well,
you know?
Yeah, well, and they call this transparent. You know, that's what they're saying, is this is, you know, we have to have transparent, and I don't think it's got anything to do with that, because this is a pretty good article here. I learned more than I knew about this whole thing, and they made it pretty simple. They go on and they say the demise, you know, like your question, why would you get out of this racket? You know, I mean, this is a good deal.
Yep.
The demise of the silver fix, and I find this interesting given who it is and what went on with the gold, was set in motion after Deutsche Bank said it would no longer participate. And I'm wondering if that is somehow in retaliation or response to, you know what, we just figured out you don't have our gold, and we figure you don't have our silver either. We're getting out of this market.
Yes, that's actually a good point. Regardless of whether they're doing it as a reaction, retribution, I say, well, if you've lost our gold, we're not going to play this game anymore. Well, maybe. But maybe it means they understand that without chips, they can't play the game. If that gold is gone, maybe they can't afford to get involved in the game. Maybe these banks are supposedly liable for making good on whatever gold is ordered in these previous markets. It's hard to say, but the whole thing, the real point, is that every bit of this indicates that the system is fragile, unstable, and practically begging to disintegrate.
And entirely manipulated.
Yeah. And nothing left to hold it together but manipulation. And that can't last much longer, because if the original silver fix, the London silver fix, and that's what disappeared Thursday of last week, that was their last day, and it was replaced by a new entity. My understanding, the new entity is called the London Silver Price.
Oh,
we got rid of the London Silver Fix and replaced it with the London Silver Price. You see?
Oh, much better.
Oh, yeah. It's a big improvement.
My confidence is soaring.
Confidence
now.
Is important. Confidence is important to hold this thing together.
It's soaring now. I mean, after that. Wow.
So, in any case, these guys in the new and improved London silver price, they have to be subject to the same financial liabilities, legal liabilities, that drove the last operation out of business. Well, they've got to be, they're going to get sued. They're going to do criminal time before this is done. Who wants to be partners in the London silver price?
Well, apparently HSBC and the Bank of Nova Scotia are the only two left there from the originals, and then the CME Group and, get this, Thomson Reuters will run the new electronic system that will continue to post the rate at noon every weekday. So now we have a media group. Thomson Reuters?
Couldn't they afford Disney?
Maybe Disney's smart enough to stay out of this.
Maybe they don't need the money as bad as Thomson Reuters. Now, the whole thing, what does it all indicate? We don't know exactly, but it is evidence of significant instability, perhaps desperation. People are just holding this thing together. They're grasping for straws. And it tells us you got to be careful. We are living in a moment that's pretty fragile.
Do you get the feeling that these banks, these insiders, these big money so-called elite are beginning to start to eat their own?
Well, they had a few fatalities back 6 weeks ago or thereabouts. They had four or five bankers in different parts of the world all of a sudden decided to check out from the top of a tall building or maybe eat their gun or whatever.
Yeah, you know, I'm starting to get the feeling they're beginning to eat their own.
I think they understand. They should understand circumstances better than we do. They have access to so much more information. They got to know what's going on. They have to have a sense of it that's stronger than our own. That means to me, if we're on the right track and things are as fragile as they appear, they've got to know that, and they got to be thinking, give me a list of all the countries that don't have extradition. Frank, do you have a list of countries that don't have extradition? They can't extradite us back to
United States? Not at this point, but that's on my list of things to look up because I might need that someday. But somebody in the chat room just said Reuters is Rothschild. Now, I don't know that to be true, but that's what somebody posted, and it could very well be true because I can't. Why else would Reuters be involved in the silver price?
Well, one thing about it is this price has to be disseminated around the world. Right? And it may be that the new London silver price doesn't command the same authority that the previous London silver fix did. Been there for 117 years, everybody kind of trusted and they thought it'd be here forever. And if they talked, everybody listened. I saw an article and a proposed form provided by the International, Standards and Derivatives Association. I can't remember the proper name, but they dealt with derivatives. And they pointed out that the derivatives were in trouble because once they had contracts, mm-hmm. and they said, Frank, I'm going to pay you X number of dollars if the price of silver goes below 1880 in October of this year. And the contract would declare who would determine the price of silver. Well, everybody used the London silver fix because they'd been using it for 117 years and no one imagined it would not work anymore. But the London silver fix is bye-bye. So if I've got a contract with you, Frank, and I'm saying I'm going to pay you if price of silver falls below 1880 an ounce, how do you enforce that contract if the London silver fix is specifically named as the one source to determine the price of silver on October 15th later this year, and it's only the London silver fix, and the London silver fix is no longer in existence? What is your derivative worth if you can't enforce it? They were encouraging people who had derivatives on silver to go ahead and work out mutual agreements where we could agree, and they said you could agree to anything. It didn't matter. You want the Shanghai Gold Exchange, get their price. Want Shanghai Future Exchange, fine. Want CME, just get someone in there in your contract. Revise your contract where some entity that you both accept sets the price of silver. Because if we don't have a mutually agreeable source for the price of silver come October 15th, guess what? Your derivative is worth nothing.
Well, you know, the so-called derivative market is unsustainable on so many different levels. So you gotta wonder, well, which would be a more profitable and acceptable thing was to just say, hey, guess what? Nobody's getting anything out of these derivatives. It's over. It's done. They're not worth anything because of this. Or everybody says we all want paid because that's not possible.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll talk more about the derivatives and whether anyone's going to get paid on derivatives when we return, because it's time for Frank to run some music and then some promotions here on Financial Survival. I'm Alfred Addis. Here with Frank Stephan. Be right back. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with my co-host Frank Stephan, and we're going to get back to talking about derivatives in just a moment. First, I want to remind you that Discount Gold and Silver has a special MS63 $20 St. Gaudens 1 ounce gold coin plus 1 ounce silver eagle, shipping included, $1,565. All right, these coins were minted from 1907 to 1933. The $20 St. Gaudens coins were crucial building blocks of the expanding U.S. financial power in the early 20th century. In choice mint state 63 condition, they combine beautiful design, true scarcity, large gold content, and low prices. $1,565, and that includes a free 1 ounce silver eagle. Give Discount Gold and Silver a call at 1-800-375-4188. Again, that's 1-800-375-4188. Let's get back to derivatives. We talked yesterday, I had Greg Hunter on the program. We talked about derivatives for a while. He pointed out that there are allegedly $600 trillion in derivatives in the world. The U.S. economy, the gross domestic product, the annual gross domestic product, is only in the neighborhood of $16 trillion per year. All right? So we're talking about there are allegedly derivatives in the world that are roughly close to 20 times as many derivatives in terms of dollar value, alleged dollar value, as the gross domestic product of the United States. And I believe the world gross domestic product is in the neighborhood of $60 trillion. The derivatives are 10 times greater than the gross domestic product for the whole world. Now, we've seen other reports. Some people say there are up to $2 quadrillion worth of derivatives. We don't know what the number is, but we know it's a lot. All right? And we are sitting in a situation where we'll watch and see what happens. But as some of the derivatives that were agreed to before the London Silver Fix came out and said, guess what, we quit, we're out of here. All right? Some of those derivatives are designed and contracted to be based on the numbers that are released by the London Silver Fix at a particular day sometime in the future. I don't know how many derivatives are out there, but it could be a substantial amount that are vulnerable because London Silver Fix is no longer here. If either party to the derivative says, hey, I don't want to play, I'm not going to agree to any other source of determining what the dollar, what the price of silver is other than the London Silver Fix, and it's gone, that means the contract is void. In theory, I'm not telling you it's God's truth, but in theory, it may be that the derivatives, a significant number of derivatives, are going to prove to be void. And we can wonder, are we going to get a domino-like effect out of this? Get a handful of, a relative handful of derivatives turn up void in the silver industry? What do you think the chances are that that could have an impact on the entire U.S. and even global economy? What do you think, Frank?
Well, it'll have an impact. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, I can see three different ways. I mean, they can either pay nobody, you know, void the contracts and say that nobody gets paid, or somehow enforce the contracts and say, seeing as how you've done this, everybody gets paid, which can't happen. Or somehow they just decide, King's X, nothing changed, we're going to keep it the way it is.
I think there's one more option. We could solve the problem by initiating World War III.
Ah, there
because
you go.
As the buildings burst into flame, the ground rumbles, and some of us are vaporized, we may forget all about derivatives there for a little while. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, and maybe we could get away with something less than World War III, like, oh, I don't know, riots in major U.S. cities.
Well, what about riots in minor U.S. cities?
Yeah.
We got a little of that going on right now. In fact, President Obama, here's an article from the New York Times, headline says, calling for calm in Ferguson. Obama cites need for improved race relations. Obama acknowledged the deep racial divisions that continue to plague not only the St. Louis suburb, but cities across the United States. In too many communities around the country, a gulf of mistrust exists between local residents and law enforcement, Mr. Obama said. We've made extraordinary progress in race relations, he said, but we have not made enough progress.
Well, you know, my view is that Obama, again, is lying, as is his way, because what's going on down there is not a racial issue. It's a police militarization issue. These guys all around the country shoot first and ask questions later. And that's because that's what they're trained to do, because that's what soldiers are trained to do.
And it goes to whether or not they deem the people to have any God-given unalienable rights to life, for example, whether they see us as people, see us as animals. We've talked about the animal thing a bunch of times. I'm not going to get into it right now, but that's part of it. I agree. But there's another part, and again, talked about it on a couple of programs, a recent study by the Federal Reserve that indicates 52% of the American people, if they're faced with an emergency that costs $400 or more, can't come up with $400 cash unless they sell some of their personal belongings or borrow money from the bank, from a friend, from whatever. It indicates that 52% of the American people have $400 or less cash to their name at any given moment. That includes their bank accounts and the rest, at 52%. I'm going to guess that the people, the black folk living in Ferguson, Missouri, if the average person in this country has no more than $400, I'll bet these people are cruising around hoping to find $100.
They're probably already in debt, you know. The thing is,
I don't know how they'd get into debt. Who'd lend them money? They have no prospect of repaying.
Payday loans.
Yeah, I guess.
And the thing, I got an IM from somebody who is a truck driver who lives out. He trucks out and lives and trucks out of Illinois and goes down that way quite a bit. And he IM'd me and said the unemployment rate for males in Ferguson and the surrounding area is over 50%.
Yeah.
And he attributed that to NAFTA. Because that used to be a place where there were factories, there were jobs, and he says all those factories, the buildings are still there with grass growing up through the, you know, sidewalks and the parking lots, and the buildings are there with busted out windows, but they're completely empty. All the machinery has been packed up and moved off.
Moved to where? Wyoming or China?
Yeah, well, not around, not anywhere in the United States.
No, I understand. They've moved the jobs, they've moved the factories, they've moved the tools where it would be difficult to, you know, it's not, here's the factory, but if there's no equipment inside the factory, it makes it so much harder to start a new business and just say, well, listen, we've got people here, they're looking for jobs, we've got this thing is set up to build automobiles or whatever, we could start making new automobiles here. We could do this because we've got the equipment, the people, in the building. Now, you know, you've got a building right now with a bunch of broken down, broken glass windows, and then what? You know, you look at the damage that's been done to this country, and it's hard to deny the contention that has been done intentionally. It's hard to believe that our government is so stupid that they'd ship our industries and jobs to China unless they really wanted to do great harm to this nation. It's hard to believe that the people in Washington, D.C. are so stupid that they can't see the harm that's going to take place if we allow illegal aliens, not just allow, but encourage illegal aliens to continue to flood into this country and take what few jobs are left at depressed wages. You know, the people said that the illegal aliens are taking the jobs Americans don't want. That was never true.
Nope.
They took the wages Americans don't want and never could afford to accept. I mean, you can't support a house, you can't support your property, given the wages that the illegal aliens are prepared to work for, and it has to drag everybody's wages down. That includes you and me, Frank.
Yeah.
The illegal aliens wanting to take over these talk shows. And they'll teach us to speak Spanish, perhaps, but they'll work for less than you and I.
You're kind of, you know, being facetious there a little bit, but in reality, you're not that far off because many, many, many radio stations have been purchased by minority non-English speaking entities that have flipped them over to all Spanish in the in the Southwest.
You know how stupid that is? You know, I don't mind if somebody wants to run a radio station that's all Spanish. But there's no excuse for the government not operating in English.
Right.
Insofar as we're going to accommodate people to come in from a foreign culture, move into this country, and you don't have to give up your culture. You don't have to move to this country to become an American. You can move to this country to stay a Mexican. And bring all your family and friends, and they can be able to come up here. And if you bring enough of them, who knows, before you know it, this will be Mexico. The problem is that the Mexican culture is historically incapable of generating any measure of prosperity. This isn't just a question of people are, you know, the only difference is the color of our skin. That's not true. We differ according to the culture that we embrace. And maybe even the culture that we're able to embrace, and some cultures are not capable of doing much more than creating wooden wheels.
Well, and that's true. And, you know, a lot of people, like, around here, we have a fairly, we have a significant Latino population, but they've been here a long time. These are not generally the illegals, because we had migrant, you know, picking pears, basically, and the thing around here, people see and they go, well, you know, why not? These are hardworking people. And that's true. You can be a hardworking man or woman and still be part of a culture that cannot succeed. You see what I'm saying? Is
oh, yeah, I do. I do. There's more involved than there's more involved than effort. There's more involved than just showing up and say, hey, I'm entitled to a job. Tell me where I can sit. All right, and then I'll get my check on Friday. This goes to a system of values, and some people's systems of values are conducive to freedom and prosperity, and some cultures' system of values are not.
Right.
And if you want to try to treat all of it, say, oh, they've got a system of values, they've got their culture, and we need to respect their culture. Well, you go ahead and respect it if you don't mind dying, if you don't mind dying at an average age of 40 or 45. If you don't mind living in poverty, go ahead and respect their culture. On the other hand, if you want to embrace the American dream and you want to see each generation live better than the previous generation, you need to embrace a system of values that makes that possible. That system of values was here predominantly in the Christian Protestant faiths of where this country started. And over the years, it's just whittled away and blah, blah, blah.
Well, as far as the, Obama came back to Washington to have a little meeting with basically the high-tech Microsoft, FedBook, and, Oracle, and the guys from Silicon Valley, because they want him to executive order in a bunch of HB1 visas. Now, you would say, and that what they do in the media, oh, and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, who says they are willing to spend, now get this, they're willing to spend $50 million on amnesty legislation. I mean, they come straight out and say, we're willing to buy legislation. Isn't that illegal? I mean, isn't that bribery?
That's the way it's done. That's the way it's done.
These companies, now I remember Microsoft, I forget the other one, but it's another Silicon Valley company. Now they're there and they're saying, look, we need more foreign workers for our high-tech industry because there's a shortage of qualified people. That's their story that they tell in the news, and that's what we all hear. However, the fact of the matter is Microsoft has just laid off 18,000 American workers, and the other company just laid off 6,000 American workers. What they're doing is they're flipping their employees from higher-waged Americans, and they want lower-waged imports.
Yep.
I mean, it's clear.
It's clear, it's obvious, anybody can see it, and yet it continues.
So as far as thinking that, oh, maybe this was by accident, maybe they're stupid, no. This is not the case at all. I mean, it's fun to call them stupid and stuff, but they're not stupid, they're criminal. They're treasonous. They're traitors is what they really are.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. This government has been captured by a bunch of traitorous, treasonous whores who are for sale to the highest bidder, and they'll sell this country right down the river. That's exactly what they're doing in order to benefit a few special interests and perhaps a new world order.
I think that's really the deal, is that the interests are what they like to call themselves as the elite. And, you know, everything for them, nothing for everybody else. It's the dark ages, mentality of how to run, things. And that's how it was. You know, the king's up in the castle. He's got his knights that are the enforcers that go out and steal everything from the serfs and bring it on back to the castle. You know, and that's what they want, except in a more modern setting.
A more peaceful setting, at least for now, because as long as the serfs have firearms, they are a particularly dangerous breed of serfs. That makes the government nervous. They would like very much to see everyone disarmed, and it would be for your benefit, ladies and gentlemen. We'd take all the firearms away, just like Stalin. He took all the firearms away and wound up killing about 60 million Russians. And Adolf Hitler took all the firearms away, and he executed 6 million or more thereabouts, or at least those are the numbers that are accepted in Nazi Germany, and Pol Pot with the Khmer Rouge. He disarmed his country and then killed I don't know how many million. The point is, when you're disarmed, folks, it is a precursor for genocide. Yep. And you are the one who's going to wind up killed if you give up your arm and you trust the government. Let's take a break.
Okay.
Take a break. And you know how the producer is.
I know.
If we don't end these things on time, he gets mad.
Region
I'm Alfred Addis, care with... What's her name again? Oh, yeah, Frank. That's right. Frank Stefan from Frank Talk. He's co-hosting today. And we'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. SilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Frank Stefan on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Here's today's special, MS63, $20 St. Gaudens gold coin, plus 1 ounce silver eagle, shipping included, $1,565, total package. Mint State 63 combines beautiful design, true scarcity, large gold content, and low prices. $1,565 for an ounce of gold plus a free 1 ounce silver eagle, and that's a collectible ounce of gold. We're only talking roughly $250, $265 above spot price. All right, for gold right now. This is really a great deal. And then again, and that includes the silver eagle. Good deal. Give them a call, Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. We were talking about, when we broke for our commercials, we were talking about the correlation between disarmament and genocide. And this has been amply demonstrated, not more, not just once or twice or three times. It's something like a dozen times in the last century.
Like every time they do it.
Yeah. It is a precursor. It's all, give us your guns and then we'll protect you. Bull crap. Let me tell you something. If you're relying on anybody's gun to protect you and it's not the one in your holster, your closet, your desk drawer, you are a fool.
You know,
you may be well-meaning, you might be a great person, you may be hoping for a better world, and that may all be true, but the world we live in, you better hang on to your firearms.
Well, you know, and I think it's a good, you know, because I think most people realize that, well, you know, if I'm going to have a gun, if I do feel I need to protect myself with a firearm, you know, I'm going to have it here, in my house or in my car, or maybe I'll even get a concealed carry and keep it on my person. You know, I'm going to have it with me. Well, that makes a lot of sense because that's where it's going to have to be if you ever need it. Mm. But yet people, you need to have the same idea with gold and silver. You can't be keeping your gold and silver off somewhere else and have a little receipt for it, because when you need it, you're not going to have it. You're not going to be able to get it, because when you need it, there's going to be probably a problem, and that you're not going to be able to get it. You don't want to keep your gun in a vault, you know, 500 miles away because that's safer. You know, you keep it with you, and that's where you need to keep the things, the tools that you're going to need when you need them. You need to have them with you, and gold and silver is a tool, you know, as much as it is money and everything else, because money's just a tool anyway to get the things you need. You know, but you've got to have the tools so you can use them handy, where you can grab them. And I'm just, I don't, I mean, this paper market of gold and silver, I just don't understand why anybody would do it. I just don't get it.
Because they're greedy. Because it was a situation where you could make a bunch of money just playing. It was like betting. It was like betting the horses down at the Pimlico or whatever. The horses run around the track. You bet on them. Maybe you make money. Maybe you don't. But you don't have to clean up after the horse. You don't have to, you know, take care of the saddle, hire the jockey, the rest of that. All you got to do is place a bet. It was a great casino for people who wanted to speculate on the prices of gold and silver, and they could make good money. The people in positions of power, the people who knew, had brains enough to actually know what's likely to happen to the price on any given day, they could do well.
Well, and you know, if that's your mindset, then okay, fine. You know, if you go in it realizing, hey man, I'm gonna go gamble, man. I'm gonna see if I can win at gambling. Well, that's fine, great. I mean, if that's what you're doing, but I think by tying this paper to gold and silver, it gives people a false impression of some sort of security that they don't have.
Well, the security goes to the idea of who gets to print the pieces of paper.
Right.
Once you accept the idea that pieces of paper that carry my name are as good as gold, I am well on my way to becoming a rich and powerful man.
Mm-hmm.
All right, when you make that equivalence, and if I can persuade everyone to say, hey, here's a piece of paper with Al's signature on it, that must be really worth something. If I can make you people believe that, I guarantee you I can rule the world if I get enough of you to do it. And that's what our government has done in conjunction with the Federal Reserve. Part of the reason the Constitution says at Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1, no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin, a tender in payment of debt. It was to restrict the power of government.
Right.
Once government and the Federal Reserve find out that they can just print this paper in unlimited quantities, it gives them enormous power. It is the foundation for big government. It's the foundation for fascism, for collectivism. It is absolutely anathema to freedom and liberty. Allowing some idiots, then they claim to be trustworthy. You know, Frank was talking earlier. You got to hold on to your guns. Why? Because you can't trust the government. You got to hold on to some wealth that you can lay hands on. Not that you have to go down to the ATM to get hold of. You got to have wealth that you can lay hands on, a liquid wealth. Why? Because the banks are just as distrustworthy as the government, and they are both constantly telling us how they can be trusted. They're leading us to that belief, and insofar as you accept that belief, you are putting yourself and your family in great peril.
Hey, we've got a caller, Daniel from Texas.
Hi, Daniel, what up?
Hey, what's up, bud?
Oh, we're asking you. Thought you'd tell us.
Oh, okay. I guess you're behind, Lou. I'm behind. I just cut my radio off. Hey, you know, it wasn't raining when Noah built the ark, was it?
No, that's exactly right.
And I get a whole lot of condemnation from my family and friends and stuff, and stuff like that. You know, it's like, oh, you know, whatever. But, you know, if you look around, all the precious poor people that aren't prepared, that don't even have a clue, you know, evidently the way it looks, the way it's going down, they're going to be like cannon fodder.
I understand.
Know? They're easy pickings and stuff.
Bewildered, incomprehensible, and what'll they do?
Well, I really don't know.
I'll tell you what, they'll follow anybody who promises to put a chicken in their pot. All right,
well,
once a month, once
like
a month, I provide you with a chicken, and all I want is your abject submission and loyalty, and they'll all come around and say, yay, yay, somebody's given us a chicken every month, and they'll follow it.
But guess what? Guess what? There ain't going to be nobody to give them a chicken.
Well, that'll be another story.
There ain't going to be no chicken to give them.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
so,
who's going to be blamed for
there's
that?
There's stuff coming, so it's up to each individual to look at what's going on, and just like Noah, you know, you always begin, oh, well, depend on the Lord. Let the Lord take Noah's knowledge to, you know, get his act together. And, you know, I mean, look through there. Look at Joseph. I mean, good grief. You know, oh, yeah, well, you don't depend on the Lord because you don't prepare. No. No, Joseph prepared. You know, Noah prepared. So, I mean, I'm not going to take much more of your time. But I mean,
but just a second.
Right.
Before you run off, I want to ask you a question. We understand that Noah was spiritually motivated to build that ark.
Sure, sure.
Do you ever wonder if the people that are motivated to actually prepare for what may be a problem, do you think they're just a little bit paranoid, or do you think they're spiritually guided? And particularly, how do you compare that to the people who just refuse to get the message? They're not building any arcs. Why is that?
Okay. Well, it could be because they've never even opened up their Bible and seen what the precious word of the Lord has told them to do through the ages. And like I said, I don't know. I know that the Lord's there for anyone. But if you've never been there, you know, or you're listening to some of these preachers that, oh, give and you'll get crap.
Yeah.
I think it's a spiritual ignorance because they've never been taught or shown. And I know a lot of, you know, a lot of people are shown, but they never, that's not for me. Oh, okay, that's fine. It's not for you. Okay. You know, you're fodder. Go on.
Yeah, I know. Mean, and it's a terrible situation.
How compassionate can you be? I mean, I've got to the point to where I feel like I see what's going on. I pray, but my family is first, and so I can see, so I prepare for what I can see coming.
Yeah.
But all these evangelists and stuff wants, oh no, just lay down. It's, you know, just look, God will take care of you. Bless your heart. Yeah, well, all right. Well, then you're on your own, I guess. You know, because you're not trusting the Lord the first thing, and the Lord shows you things. I mean, he shows you things. If you trust in him, if you pray to him, honestly, he'll show the mysteries. He'll show you unseen things. And when he tells you to do something, prepare. I've been prepared. I mean, I don't have a compound or anything else. But I saw this 10 years ago. I could see it. I could see the writing on the wall. So.
Well, you know what? Curious. One of the difficult questions about this is there are some people that aren't preparing. And it's not simply because they don't have resources to do it. For whatever reason, they don't choose to do it. And I'm wondering, what crosses my mind, are these like the people they talk about in the Bible? To the disciples, the apostles, it's given for you to understand, but we speak in parables to the others because it's not given to them to understand. Are there people here on this planet that are not really called? It's not just a question of you could show it to them. They don't get it. They can't get it. It's not just a choice per se.
Oh, well, no, Al, I think they're going to get it. I mean, I'm not talking about they're going to get it when it hits. And I think they're fearful, and they don't want to think about that because it's always been the way it was. You know, this is the way it's always been. Well, no, things change, and history repeats itself. And I think they'll only get it when it's in their face.
I don't know if you've ever read
everything from the police state. Well, that's not here. You know, that's not me. Until they finally get it. I mean,
yeah.
I've had some hard things in my life. You know, until it finally hit me in the face, did I get it?
It's the same way with me. I didn't begin to understand until I suffered a gross injustice back in 1983, and that's when you begin to think and you begin to see. Prior to that, I was fat, dumb, and happy as everybody else in this country.
Well, the same with me, Al, but the thing is, they're not going to get it until it's in their face, and then it'll be too late.
I mean, I get that.
That's even in Bible, too. So,
Have you ever read...
I think they fear... Sir?
Have you ever read a guy named the Mogambo Guru?
No.
He writes on financial issues. He hasn't been, haven't seen much of him in the last few years, but he was funny, all right? He would present his articles on the economy. He worked Wall Street, and he had a great sense of humor, and he called himself the Mogambo Guru. That's what he wrote under. I don't remember his real name. One of his lines, though, you talk about when people are going to get it, and he was talking about people that are going to get it good and hard. That was his
I don't want that to happen to anybody. You know, that's not my heart. I want them to understand, but I don't know, Al, like you say, I don't know if it's through fear that they don't want to know or that it was like you said, the Lord, I know he's spoken parables and whatnot, and it was for those that would understand. But if you pray for God's wisdom in all things, he's a great father. He wouldn't give you a snake or a stone if you ask for a piece of bread. He's a precious father, and
I agree with you.
I guess it's just it's the spirit that's within you, and some people may not have that spirit within them to even want to consider what the Lord has.
It always is a mystery. It's hard. I mean, I made a comment back recently. Whenever the day comes that I die, I expect to have more questions than answers.
You've got to just kind of proceed.
You have to embrace the uncertainty. You have to proceed on a basis of faith, in my opinion. That's the way it sort of works for me.
But he doesn't expect you just to lay down and take
what I agree.
I agree.
He expects you to do something, especially if he helps you to see.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're denying what you see, if the good Lord's helping you to see something and you're saying, I don't need to pay any attention to that, guess what? I think you're making a big mistake. You're making a big error in judgment. Dave, we're going to have to turn you loose because we're out of time.
Hey, faith without work on your faith,
I agree.
What you do is dead. So,
I agree with you.
Hey,
all right, Dave, thanks very much for your call. Thanks for listening to the program. Frank, you got about 5 seconds to say something intelligent.
To those much given, much is expected. So, you know, if you know something, you've got to tell others. You can't just sit on it.
True. And I'm sure that motivates you to a significant degree in the radio programs you do.
A little bit.
Absolutely. I'm Alfred Adisk. I want to thank all of you people for listening. I'm here with Frank Stephan. We will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, and Frank the producer. Bye. And Dave also, guy called up on the phone. Talk to you later.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too fast.
In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball.
Money.